This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our next story, Dato' Sri Abdul Hamid Bado, the Inspector General of Police, recently said that the proposal to set up the IPCMC, or the Independent Police Complaints and Misconduct Commission, needs to go hand in hand with protecting the rights of policemen and providing for their service needs.
So in one case, he's called for an increase in the salaries of lower-ranked police officers, that's from the rank of sergeants and below, believing that it will help minimise corruption and other temptations to commit crimes for a quick buck. He pointed out the fact that the salaries of such officers were not high enough to cover the cost of living, especially for those serving and stationed in cities.
Now, just to give an idea, just to give some context here, the average salary scale of a police officer is between basically 1,000 ringgit and 3,005, which makes it difficult to survive in big cities such as Kuala Lumpur, as I think most of us would agree.
Yeah, he's also called for an increase to the force's budget and providing the police with good infrastructure and facilities for the welfare of their families.
He being the IGP there.
Thank you. Yes, the IGP also did acknowledge that while all these efforts alone will not wipe out corruption completely, it will make policemen understand that they were given a salary, power and various facilities, and in return they must give the best service that they can.
So the overall feel here is that there's an attempt to try and balance and understand the voices on both sides, because you have one of obviously calling for more police accountability, and this is following on from cases and complaints of wrongdoings, and then the other from the side of the police calling for protecting the rights of policemen and providing more to allow them to do their jobs better. So this is, of course, again, like a lot of the things we're covering today, not the first time this has been brought up. The issue of pay, the issue of, perhaps if people were better paid, they would be less susceptible to things like corruption. And that also, I guess, speaks to this idea that if you pay people better, they'll do better work, you know, which is an important element, because that is how most companies run, for example.
Yeah, though that also includes the picture of having the IPCMC in the first place to make sure that, okay, so police are getting paid better, that's fine, but there is still the opportunity to get into things that could earn you a quick buck. And you want to eliminate or at least have checks where if that does happen, there are consequences to your actions or at least some form of prevention or a measure to stop you from doing so.
Amar Singh says, will the salaries of the top brass be reduced since their perks and benefits are sky high? It's the remuneration package and not the monthly salary alone. And that so far has not been addressed. What has been addressed is the monthly salary of lower ranked police officers. There has as yet been no mention of what will happen to people who hold a higher position.
Yeah, none yet, though the government has said that they're going to look at the suggestion that came through from the IGP, and they are currently deliberating on whether or not to increase that salary.
We're going to be speaking after this with Gerald Joseph, a former commissioner of Suhakam, to really understand what the different elements and issues are involved in this. We'll be back for that. You can, of course, send your thoughts through WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's coming along to 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about improving welfare and wages when it comes to police officers in order to address a number of different things, including corruption, levels of service. We're crossing over now to Gerald Joseph. He's a former commissioner of Suhakam. Gerald, thanks for joining us. How much of the problems faced by the police force, especially corruption, boils down to the issue of lack of welfare, in your opinion?
I think first is recognition that not only one agency in the government is saddled with the problem of corruption. The police force, being a huge force, has a big problem in corruption. But that should be seen as a problem in itself, with or without the issue of welfare being linked to corruption. And I think that we need to decouple this for the reason that no justification should be allowed in order for corruption to be justified in practice by any civil servant or any part of the country. So the reason for why corruption happened, one of it, when it started off many years ago, they said that, you know, they were not enough, the salaries are low, the conditions are not up to mark. And thus, police officers and others were resorting to getting side income, I mean, in inverted commas. While that could be improved and should be improved in terms of minimum standards and wages, but I don't think any form of corruption can be condoned, neither allowed. And I'm very certain that in the training of the police force when you're a junior cadet, it's a no-no. No acceptance of any form of corruption in your work. So how did a junior police officer get involved in such a practice? Is it because all along the rank and file there is corruption happening? And I think the recent comment by the new Inspector General of Police stating that corruption in the police force is detrimental to being a police officer, I think is spot on. And I think that the cleaning up needs to happen at all parts of the police force, from the lowest to the highest level. And I think Malaysians will continue to joke about the policeman on the road who stops someone and, you know, negotiates when you've done a traffic offense. That's the visible. But I think there are also more serious, severe issues of corruption and paying of police officers linked to more issues of gangsterism, criminal underworld, which we have seen come out in the courts and in the newspaper. So my first point is, I think acknowledging corruption is a serious issue in the police force. It needs to be addressed. There needs to be a total change of culture. There cannot be any impunity in terms of whoever is caught. And Malaysia, both the giver and the receiver, need to know that you cannot go down that route. And I don't think it should be linked to the issue of the lack of welfare. While I want to discuss about the lack of welfare as a separate point.
Definitely. So when it comes to welfare, salary has been brought up quite a bit. Former Transparency International President Dato' Abbas Sattar was quoted in Free Malaysia Today saying that the average salary scale for a police officer is from a little over 1,000 ringgit to around 3,500. It's low, especially if you live in a city and if they are supporting their families as well. Do many police officers face a challenging financial situation?
I think this is a very real question for police officers and other civil service, as well as people living in the urban cities. The urban poor struggle to raise families with a small income from factory salary. The police officer struggles with that little money to raise a family. And I think that's the reality that we need to really raise our income levels across the board, all over Malaysia. But just because the salaries are low, it does not make people to go and jump over fences and steal. The urban poor families who are struggling are not thieves. They struggle. It's difficult. We hope Malaysia's practice of minimum wages increases, and also more so for people in enforcement like the police, so that they will be able to do their duty without worrying about reality at home with their kids, wife or husband to support. And definitely if you're in the bigger city, that becomes a real issue. But also there are other issues of welfare which is beyond salary, like housing for the police force. When the Human Rights Commission Suhakam last 3 years, when we went to visit different police stations across the country, one thing was lacking was the conditions of the housing provided for the police force, which is normally very close to the police station. You know, the stall, square buildings, 5-6 stories that you can normally see from the road. I remember going to I was not sure. I think maybe it's Kelantan. In that place, I think there were probably 40 units, but out of that, 20 were, not Kelantan, it's in somewhere in Selangor. 20 of our units were not livable because there's no maintenance to upkeep, to upgrade. So it was empty, and the police station said, we just have no budget to repair and to upgrade. So people were, the police officers were looking for alternative housing outside, and maybe one or two of the single men who just joined the force, they were living in this quite a squalid condition. So I think the welfare support needs to increase across the board, not just salary, but with other facilities that would support the policemen and women in their work, like housing. We've also got cases when we went to study the conditions, is that sometimes in police stations, the printer doesn't work, and the policeman needs to print the report in order to continue his investigation. They put in money, they buy paper. So it's not in all police stations, but I think small things like this, perhaps we don't see. And I think the back end of an infrastructure support so that the policemen and women can do their work will actually help them a long way.
How should the overall issue of welfare fit in when it comes to the bigger picture of reforming the police institution?
The police force is a very important part of the Malaysian enforcement, Malaysian's protection of society in the criminal justice system. And it's a large force. And you know, almost our daily life, almost everything, any problem, we go to make a police report and ask the police for help. Having said that, and that's why the reform of the police institution is so important. First of all, being a policeman, a policewoman is not a job that is forced upon anyone. No? It's a voluntary position that, like anyone, you apply, you get trained, you pass that minimum standard, and you become a policeman or woman who then stands up to that bill of what you're supposed to be, a professional policeman. So nowhere at any point anybody is forced to be a policeman or woman, and I don't think the nation's feels like they are beholden to this force because they need it. Definitely we need the police force, but we need good policemen and women in the force. And that's why the reform includes checking on the impunity of the police force, that there should not be any form of any transgression or corruption or malpractice or abuse of power that we see often, even when the commission, Soakam, goes to does its investigation on allegations of torture. This is systematic. It still continues with allegations when we investigate. It's hard to get down to the bottom. Are these police people penalized? Are they sanctioned? Are they disciplined? We don't know how much of it happens. And that's why the reform needs an oversight body that is independent, that has the clout, that has the legal backing as well as political backing, in order to ensure no such abuse happens. Not because the police force is the only one that abuses power. Every part of human society, both private, public sector, every enforcement agency does it. And we want to make sure that every agency will be stopped and tracked. But as per the statistics in the EIAC, the Integrity Commission before that is still existing, I think 90% of their complaints are related to the police. Even in our commission, Soakam, about, I would say, 30% plus would be related to allegations of abuse of enforcement, police officers, torture allegations. So I think the need for reform is long overdue. Because the many of civil society, NGOs, public realize that a professional police force works well for the police name, works well for society, and works well for the country, which means that weeding out the few, what they call black sheep, weeding out the few who try to spoil the good name of the police needs to be done in a very professional and open manner. But we know that there will always be a few who are not honest, and there will always be a few in any agency. But not wanting to take a serious and severe action against those few means the police are condoning impunity, and that's the sad reality of the delay of IPCMC. It should have happened 10 years ago. We would have had a clean police force today. And I think it's better today, and I'm glad the new IGP and the new government is committed to get it off the ground. And for it to work, it has to be truly an independent body. It cannot be internal policemen monitoring their own people. It has to be an empowered body. It has to have the ability to get all information. It has to be provided with information when asked. Its investigation and conclusion submitted to, I don't know, the Attorney General or the relevant agencies must be actionable. It should also be able to sanction some disciplinary action on the police force. Only for the reason, for a short period, this will sound like it's a lot of police officers complaining. But I think after 5 years, 10 years, the system will clean itself up, and then even the role and function of IPCMC will be much lesser. But we are in an interim period where the cleaning up is really needed, and there's no other way except for an institution like the IPCMC to ensure that police reform really happens for the benefit of the police force and for the benefit of Malaysians at large.
Gerald, thank you so much for joining us. That was Gerald Joseph, former Suhakam Commissioner. We've been talking today about this issue of welfare and salary increases for lower-ranked police officers because, well, I mean, that has been a long-running conversation, right? Mm-hmm. Would it help to stem the flow of corruption, especially as we start talking about the IPCMC? Are there all these separate things to consider as well? And we have received some messages. Amma is back to say something else.
There are many private workforce out there who are earning below 3,000 ringgit per month. They are surviving, and why can't the police personnel? Housing is taken care for them, but not for the private sector. So shall we get involved in corruption as well? I think we being the general private workforce.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, because Amma also said earlier that there's the issue with top brass salary when it comes to the police officers. I take the point, but I also don't think that means that we shouldn't care for the welfare of people who are earning low within the government service. If the government chooses to do that, I don't think that's a problem. And I don't think it should detract or distract from the fact that there are people who are also struggling to survive out there, which is where the whole issue of cost of living comes in. But if the government also wants to look at the police force, that's not an issue for me.
For me, it's the stakes. The stakes are different. They are risking their lives potentially to protect the nation. So I think there should be a conversation about their welfare.
And very, very quickly, Noor from Sitiawangsa said, yeah, it's low, but do people know about the perks? Housing provided, it's comfortable. I live in Sitiawangsa. They just completed a modern multi-story condo like apartments for the police force. For others in the private sector, a big chunk of our salary goes to rental. Hence, it's about the same. We are going to head now to the 7:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.